How do you start your day? Okay, I just want to say the same thing. How do you start your day every morning? When you wake up, what do you do? Well, I get dressed. Yeah, okay, that's good. But how do you start your day with your disposition? My mom used to say sometimes when I would wake up in a crabby mood that, did you get up on the wrong side of the bed? Do you have a wrong side of the bed? I've never figured out the wrong side of the bed. But she was saying that my disposition wasn't what it should be. You know, that's something that most of us, if not all of us, have to work on from time to time. And this evening, we're going to have a lesson that I'm going to suggest actually as a homework assignment. Now, whether you do it or not, I don't know. So when you come next week, I'm not going to ask if you've completed your homework assignment. Because this homework assignment that I'm going to suggest to you tonight takes more than a few days. This homework assignment I'm going to suggest to you this evening is going to take from 14 to 21 days. It's a pretty long homework assignment, isn't it? But it has to deal with your attitude and my attitude as we start each day. You know, if we start the day thinking of all we have to do, if we start each day with difficult things, we don't start out on the right foot. So therefore, our lesson tonight is Remember G. Lila's always asking me, what's the title of the lesson? And I just told her the title of the lesson is G. And she looked at me bewildered. She said, that old guy's probably going crazy or something. But that's the title of my lesson tonight. A part of our homework assignment for the next 14 to 21 days, if you so choose to do it, is to remember G. You're going to see just in a moment what I'm talking about. It's talking about developing a habit that is going to be beneficial to you. You might already do it. I don't know. But I know for most of us, we have both good habits and bad habits. And I would put this in the category of a good habit, to remember the letter G. Now, I can hear some say, well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You ever hear that phrase before? First of all, I don't consider you as a dog. And second of all, I'm not trying to teach you tricks. I'm trying to share with you this evening something that helps me, because that's the one thing that is always changeable, is our attitudes. And I'm suggesting that if you would follow these precepts, you'll start out with the right attitude each and every day. Now, I'm not saying you're going to keep the right attitude. That's a whole different topic. But let's talk about G. The reason I want us to remember the letter G is because the first word for G is giving. When you pop up out of bed tomorrow morning, remember the giving that is done for you and the giving that you should do. So when you get up and you've got aches and pains, and I'm not making light of your aches and pains, you've got issues that you're going to have to deal with that day, and I'm not making light of the issues that you have. You're going to have to deal with them. But wouldn't it be nice is as you think of that letter G on giving. First of all, on God's giving. God gave us his son, did he not? There's many passages we could use. John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Who did he give his son for? For me. So when I get up, if I'm thinking of giving and think about God's love, that should be a benefit to me, should it not? We also have the giving of the son. Jesus gave his life. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Now, you're going to have to make yourself try to do this. I suggest for some, if you've not done it and you want to do it, maybe put the letter G in your bathroom on the mirror, because we all like looking at the mirror in the morning. And then think of the giving, God's giving, the giving of Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, it says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. When you get up, thank me to God, he became our ransom because he gave of himself. He came to serve us. And of course, the giving of the Holy Spirit. The giving of the Holy Spirit. And while I do that, I'm going to pause in my lesson. Bob, I'm asking your permission. There's something on my chart that I might as well not have it if you can't get rid of it. So you come and do this while I'm talking. And the third one is the giving of the Holy Spirit because he gave us his word. We find that in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 19 through 21. 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. And if you can't.
If you want to turn it on.
No, I don't want to turn it on.
Yeah, so don't, you don't look.
That's why I called you. You went ahead of me, I said, but get back there. But then, all right, thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. That's why I'm glad we got people who knows technology. I'm giving thanks to him for helping me because that would have driven me nuts if that would have been there through all my PowerPoint. I would have shut it down, even though you didn't see it. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. I need to thank God, be thankful for the manifestation of the Spirit that he gave us the word, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light shines in dark place until the day dawn and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of men, but by holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about giving. God gave his Son. His Son gave his life. And the Holy Spirit gave us the word, correct? All those are what? Beneficial to you and me. So when I can get up, I can think of that giving. But let's talk about the giving of others. Look at the priests and their giving. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 6. Now, we're just starting the book of Acts. And what's really interesting to me, and we sometimes just kind of read over it and don't think about it, but in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. You see that last phrase? A great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. I want to ask you a question. What did they give? They gave up their livelihood. They gave up their livelihood. Are you going to be able to be a priest and be a Christian at the same time? Are you going to be able to offer up animal sacrifices and be a Christian at the same time? They gave their livelihood. Remember G, the idea of giving. When you wake up, you have the giving of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have the priests who gave up their livelihood. I wish God would have expanded on that. Wouldn't have that been interesting to see what some of those went through as they gave up their livelihood, but they were willing to give. You had Paul, who gave up his previous prestige. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 through 9. Remembering the letter G, giving. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these things I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. For I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. You see what he's saying? He said, I gave up these things. All these terrible things are now happening, but he's not upset about that. He was willing to give up those things because we look at verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through Christ, faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So again, let me ask you this. Did Paul have a lot of difficulties? Did he give of his life? But did he ever complain about that? He said he counted that as rubbish, that he might gain Christ. So you got the idea, when you get up, instead of thinking the world owes me something, on all the giving that's been done, the giving by God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and as we look at other examples in the New Testament, on their type of giving. A couple of more before we move on. The Thessalonians. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm working on a workbook on Thessalonians, and it's interesting because this is a Gentile church primarily. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 8 through 10, it says, "For from you the word of the Lord hath sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place, that your faith toward God hath gone out, so that we don't need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Let me ask you, did they give something? Yeah. They gave up their previous lifestyle. Do you think they're complaining about that? No. Goes on to state, "and to wait for his Son from heaven who raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come." And I'm going to give one more before we take it home. In Hebrews chapter 10, we're talking about the letter G standing for giving. And all these examples are areas where individuals gave. In Hebrews chapter 10, we have recorded for us here the difficulty that these Christians went through. And verse 32, it goes on to state, "But recall the former days in which you were illuminated. You endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made spectacle, both of reproaches and tribulations, and partly became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better enduring possession for yourselves in heaven." Did they give up anything? Yeah. They were being persecuted. Now, let's take it to us. You get up tomorrow morning. Think about giving, whether it's giving in these areas. But let's talk about personal giving. As we talk about that, our giving. Get up tomorrow morning and understand you've got a life to live to glorify God. You get to give another, you've been given another opportunity to shine for Jesus. But you don't understand, Chuck, I don't feel good. Most of us could raise our hands up here that we don't feel good. But if you get to open your eyes tomorrow morning, God has given you another day. You don't know what the day holds, but he's given you another day. What you do with that day determines what type of attitude you have. And therefore, you start out with the attitude of giving. I want to give the best I can to show Christ through me the best I know how. And Galatians chapter 2, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We have recorded for us here, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The life I now live in the flesh. You get up tomorrow, you're given another day of life in the flesh. Are you going to give yourself to live it for Christ? You see my point now? So you get up, and you don't get up and say, "Oh, I'm going to hate today." I remember when I worked in secular work many, many years ago, where I had to punch a clock 5 to 6 days a week. And I remember vividly, as a young man, the 3 days I hated the worst were Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Started to get better on Thursday and Friday, but Monday. But I got to thinking back over that, and I did my job, but I would start out the day in a bad attitude. "Oh, it's Monday. Oh, I know I'm going to..." Okay. Let me ask you that. Did that bad attitude change what I'm going to have to deal with? No, it just made it harder because I had a bad attitude. So again, you get up thinking of the letter G, and that is giving, giving yourself to the Lord. Now, to my credit, for a portion of that time, I was not a Christian. Now, as I became a Christian, I'm not suggesting I followed these three principles then. I've learned them over the years. But boy, I wished I would have had them back then, because it would have meant those mornings much better. People knew not to talk to me Monday morning, Tuesday morning, or Wednesday morning, because I would be giving them a sharp answer. I didn't want to talk to anybody because it's not the end of the week. How sad that is. How many weeks have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? 52. That's not a good way to start your day for 52 weeks. How should we start our day? Understand, hey, I've got another day to live for Christ. No, I don't like what stands ahead of me, but in Christ, I'm going to try to shine. Is that a better attitude? But it's up to you. Remember the letter G, giving. Remember 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15? Turn with me if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, you're not going to learn this in a day. It's a habit that you have to do over and over again before it becomes a part of you. And 2 Corinthians 5, 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then he died for all, that those who live should not live for themselves, but for him who died for them. It's a tie together with Galatians 2:20. You get up, I'm going to give myself to the Lord. Going to be a better attitude, is it not? But let's become more specific before we go to our next one. We're going to serve others. Galatians 5:13. And you know, we got it so lucky in this day and age. Because years ago, when you talked about serving one another, oftentimes you had to put forth a lot more effort than we do today. You know, we didn't have internet back then. 25, 30 years ago, you couldn't get on your phone and text someone. And I'm sincerely grateful when someone texts me. But you couldn't text someone letting them know you're thinking about them. You couldn't text someone to tell them, I'm praying for you, right? Now, you couldn't do that years ago. You either had to call them, and I've never been a phone person, or you had to go out and see them. Or you had to, you see my point? But now, today, we've got it so convenient. Now, don't just do it as habit, do it with concern. If you're going to tell someone you're going to pray for them, you better make time to pray for them. Don't lie. So, you know, if I send a text I'm going to pray for, usually I pray for them when the text is done. And not only that, but I do that because sometimes if I don't do that, I'll forget. But in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, let's look at this. For you yourself, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Now, let's stop here. Why did Chuck use giving as the first word for G? Well, why does that affect my... Because when you get your focus off yourself to live for Christ and serve others, are you going to have a better attitude? Yeah. But you got to remind yourself of that. And I suggest there's no better way to remind yourself of that than when you get up in the morning. God gave me another day to give of myself, to try to help others, to do the best I can. When you get up in the morning, and as you remember the letter G, don't forget the word gratitude. If you were asked, do you love Thanksgiving? I'd be the first to raise my hand. Yeah, I like the food. That goes without saying, I like the food. But I like that I can be with loved ones without any harm or fear. How wonderful it is. The trouble is, and my mom kind of embedded this in me, as she would say of other things, well, Thanksgiving's not one day. And you know what? She's right. So when I get up each morning, not only should I have giving in my mind, I should have gratitude in my mind. Yeah, but here's how it is. People say, you just don't understand, Chuck. I will agree with you. I don't understand your life because I'm not in your shoes. But I want you to understand that no matter what you're going through in your shoes and what I'm going through in my shoes, there's no better way to start a day than to have gratitude. Well, there's nothing I have gratitude for. Well, see, you got clouded because there are things you have gratitude for. I can have gratitude each and every day that I've been allowed to be a child of God. Right? I can have gratitude for that. Let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Again, this is something when you get up, you're going to remember the three G's. Oh, now I gave you that. There's one more G. The first one, as we talked about giving, and then gratitude. We have recorded for us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Look at what it says. Giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us to the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Did you catch that first verse? Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who hath qualified. Do you realize without the Father, without the Son, without the Holy Spirit, you and I could never have been qualified to be his children? Do you realize that? I ought to be thankful for that. Do you realize that we've become a part of a kingdom which can never be destroyed? Remember Hebrews 12 and verse 28? I need to have gratitude for that. You know, talk to some of my brethren. We talked a little bit about politics. And if anything wants to make you depressed, talk about politics. But the point is, when I'm done talking about politics, I've got to remember, hey, I'm a part of a kingdom that can never be moved. Boy, thank you, God, for letting me be part of that kingdom. Could you realize if my well-being depended upon society? What miserable lives we would have. But my life is dependent upon God. And he gave us his Son, which qualifies us. And he's given us an opportunity to be a part of the kingdom. So I can open my eyes tomorrow morning, and before I even turn on my TV set, and if the TV set says, listen, we've been overtaken, that'd be a bad, bad thing. But I'm still a part of God's spiritual kingdom. I can have gratitude. I'm his child, and I'm a part of a kingdom that can never be destroyed. Do you see that'll help our disposition? As we go through this political turmoil, whatever you believe on that, I'm not going to tell you what to believe. I'm not going to tell you what to vote. But if you're a child of God, put that second, third, or fourth, and put first, you're part of God's kingdom. Have that gratitude. You're a part of that kingdom. When we talk about gratitude, I can have gratitude, I'm called in one body. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Someone says, well, Chuck, you can't remember all those things when you get up. You're going to be late for work if you go to work. Well, you can remember the three words and add something there to what it means. I can understand his giving, and I need to be giving. I need to understand gratitude. When we pray Thursday, those of us that are going to be eating meals with loved ones, we're going to thank God for what we have, are we not? Well, what better way than to start the morning and say, thank God that I got to open up my eyes. Thank God I could get out of bed. Thank God that I'm a part of a kingdom. You know, my wife makes a big deal. I had an ingrown toenail. I know it's no big deal. It hurts. It hurts when you have a... And she's going bonkers over it, and I say, it'll just kind of deal with it. I'll get brave enough someday to just pick it out, but until then, that little toenail is not going to cause me to not forget about my gratitude for God's kingdom. And you have a whole lot worse than an ingrown toenail. But I'm just saying, we need to have gratitude. I'm a part of a body. Colossians 3:15 states this. It says, and let the peace of God rule your hearts to which you were called in one body, and be what? Be what? Be thankful. Be thankful that I can be a part of the family of God. Be thankful I have brethren who are going to, if things get difficult, they're going to be in rally to my aid. Do you believe that? I do. So we can have gratitude. We can have gratitude as we look at this. In Acts chapter 28, this is an interesting passage. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 15, this is another passage that we sometimes just gloss over and don't take time to stop and think about it for a moment. In Acts chapter 28, this is Paul going to Rome, and it states in verse 15, it says, and from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came and met us as far as Appii Forum and the Three Inns. Now, when we go, if you go on a map, they came some distances. And they didn't get in their Nissan Sentra to get there. And it took a lot of effort for them to get there. And it goes on to state, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. What did Paul thank God? Because he saw his brethren there to lift up his hands. These brethren couldn't change his circumstances, but they could lift up his hands. Boy, I'm so thankful I'm a part of a spiritual body that hands can be lifted up in difficult times. And by the way, Paul was going through a difficult time. Again, as we talk about gratitude, the Lord sums it up this way through Paul and Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it tells us this, "In everything give thanks when you're feeling great." It doesn't say that. "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." It's the will of God for us to be thankful. Not for one day, not when things are just going good, but at all times, it's the will of God that we are to be thankful because we're in Christ Jesus. We're in that kingdom. We have forgiveness. And someday we're going home. Let me ask you this. You wake up tomorrow morning and you think about God's giving and your giving. That's the first thing you start thinking about. And then you stop to start thinking about how thankful you are that you're part of a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, and thankful that you have brethren all over the world that you don't know most of them, and neither do I. Isn't that a better way to wake up? This past week, we had 4 days with no sun. I don't remember when Florida didn't have 4 days with no sun. It gets people discouraged. People are kind of moody when you, well, I can't allow the sun to change my disposition, because we've got Christ, the Son, who allows us to be thankful. You see, what we do is we let the externals control us. We have to control. That's why we got to develop good habits. We have to be controlled by the internal. And that is by God's teachings, that no matter what the externals are, it doesn't harm my internal focus. Does that make sense? It does to me. It might not to you, but it does to me. But let's move on. You say, go on, Chuck. That's your second G. We've got giving. We've got gratitude. What else are you going to bring up? Glad you asked. We've got one more G. One more G for us to look at. The goal. Don't ever forget the goal. We're here only for a temporary time. Now, those of you that are young, I know you don't understand this, because I was young one time. And when I was young and I used to hear preachers talk about age, and I thought, oh man, that guy's getting old. That's why he's talking about that. But you're going to blink your eyes one day and get old if you're allowed to live. Don't forget the goal. We find recorded for us in Colossians chapter 3. So if God allows me to wake up tomorrow, I need to understand on God's giving and how I should give. I need to understand, I need to be thankful. And I need to understand there's a goal I'm heading towards. And it happens not to be here. And Colossians 3 in verse 1 through 4, it says, "If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory." And you know, I put these three G's together, giving, gratitude, and goal. And though we don't have it that way in specific verses in the New Testament, I know my brethren must have applied that regularly, because look at how miserable their lives were, and they still kept on keeping on. Right? We have it easy. No one's calling me off to jail. I've had zero stripes on my back. I've never had a playtime without any food or a place to stay. They had all of that happen to them. And they stayed the course, because they had the right mindset. And you don't have the right mindset by chance. You've got to develop it. And we call that development habits. You've got to develop the habit of looking at God's giving. You've got to develop the habit of the gratitude. And you've got to develop the habit, so do I, that this is just a temporary place. We're going somewhere better. Don't misunderstand. I enjoy the temporary place. I enjoy being with you. I love preaching. I love being with my brethren. I enjoy the temporary place. But I have to remind myself, this is just a temporary place. We're going somewhere better. And then when you get up, you can watch the news and get upset. You can yell at your TV set and change it. Some of us brethren had a good discussion Friday night about how to improve the world, but guess what? No one's going to ask our opinions, and it's not going to change. But as a child of God, I know I'm going somewhere better. I'm going somewhere better. That's to heaven. In Hebrews chapter 6, it's so sad when you see brethren go through difficult times, is it not? We had I could give you many times, you've seen it in your own life, where they've lost a loved one, what we consider at an unexpected time. They get a disease. You know, it's bad any time when someone gets sickness. It's extremely bad when a child gets a sickness. You know, what affects me more than anything is going into a children's home. And there's, take for instance, St. Jude's Children's Hospital. I watch those commercials and they tug at your heart. Because here are these little kids, and they're smiling. Most people would be frowning and complaining. They're smiling. Having things going into them, and it just... The point is, when I say that, to say this, remember, during those difficult times, you might not be able to change them, but God hasn't abandoned you. You've got that goal. And when you have those difficult times come your way, we have to stay clung to that anchor of the soul. That's our goal. If we let go of that anchor, we're going to be miserable people. And I have seen miserable Christians because they let go of the anchor. I'm not wishing bad upon you, but I'm talking. You get up each morning and you think of your goal. You think of the gratitude. You think of the giving. I'm not going to say that's going to make your day simple, but is it going to help you through it? Is it going to start you off on the right foot? Absolutely. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things it was impossible for God to lie, that we have strong consolation who have fled for the refuge to lay hold of the hope where? Set before us. We haven't realized that hope yet. It's set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, when enters in the presence of the veil, behind the veil. Where the forerunner has entered for us. Who is that? That's Jesus. Jesus has entered there for us. He's our high priest after Melchizedek. That's where we're going. Yeah, we have to deal with the daily trials. Yes, we have to deal with the daily routine. Yes, we have to deal sometimes with evil people and do the best as you can under those things. But don't let that turn you off course to be focused to where you're going. Don't let it turn you off course that each and every morning you get up, you're grumpy. You know, one of the Disney characters is grumpy. I don't want to be grumpy. You want to have a good attitude. To have that good attitude, you got to work on your mind. Do you realize how important the mind is? You know, we talk about all the technology we have. We know so little about our mind. But God knew a lot about it because a lot of this focuses to the mind. Does it not? You focus to the gratitude. You focus to the giving. You focus to the goal. And that's going to help you get through whatever comes your way. Wow. So thankful to God he's done that. And then Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It tells us here in verses 13 and 14, very simply, it states that, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You say, what's that have to do getting up? Well, when you get up and you're thankful and you have gratitude, don't forget where you're going. You're going home to heaven. While you're here, you enjoy here as you can. Deal with the problems, but you're going home. That, my friend, is the mindset that's going to help you start your day. But we just can't say, okay, I've learned this tonight. Go home and see if that doesn't work. Try to remember for the next at least 2 weeks, every morning, remember God's giving and your giving. Remember the thankfulness, the gratitude that we're to have. And remember where we're going. As we close this evening, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to stop before I read verse 58. We have victory over death itself. You know, as I've been parts of congregations preaching for them in excess of 43, 44 years, you look at the congregation, you say, well, that good sister or that good brother is not going to be around much longer. Don't you do that sometimes? You think they got a lot of problems, they got a lot of issues. If anyone's going to die, they're going to... But normally it don't work out that way. The one, I'm not wishing any of you to die. But doesn't it happen, the ones you think, well, they're going to die, they outlive ones who you never even thought of. But we got victory over death. Isn't that wonderful? Young or old, we've got victory over death. Understand that. I hope selfishly no one dies in this congregation. But brethren, we know that's not going to be the case. We know that sometime, someone in our beloved family is going to die. But we got victory, because God gave us victory over death. And that's why he states, as we close, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's our goal, never giving up. Start your morning with the G, with the giving, with the gratitude, and with the goal. You can do what you want with this lesson, but I suggest if you try to apply it, and you're consistent, it's going to have you have a better start each day. I'm not saying everything's going to go smooth, but you'd have a better start to handle whatever comes your way. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, it begins by becoming his child. You need to repent of your sins and be baptized. Let's go to the song that has been selected. I love this song. There's power in the blood. I love it. Because without the blood of Christ, we're forever lost. We're forever lost. The power is in the blood. You want to have contact with the blood, you've got to serve God his way. And that requires us to repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins, and then to be faithful till the time of death. And as was mentioned in the prayer, and is mentioned in a lot of prayers, we falter sometimes and we need to get back up. I'm not suggesting that there's anyone who never commits a sin here, but if we're practicing sin, we need to quit. We need to try to make those changes. And what gets me to heaven? The blood. Remember 1 John 1, if we walk in the light as Jesus in the light, the blood of him will cover us from all sins. There's power in the blood as we stand and as we sing. Power in the blood. Full of victory when there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power.
Keep power.